Welcome. How's everybody doing this afternoon? Did you get a chance to eat lunch? Yes, some of you are still chewing, I see. That's okay. Excellent. Today we have a great session in store for you, and I know you're really going to enjoy this time hearing from Daniel Brown. And as some of you may know, after planning and pastoring the Coastlands for 22 years, Daniel felt led to hand over the church and begin traveling throughout our global Foursquare family, teaching and encouraging pastors and leaders through very simple but compelling Bible study. And he calls himself a mentor, not a magician. And he loves to make complex subjects easy to understand and encourage everyone he meets to go for it. So without any further ado, I'd like for us to receive Daniel Brown.
Amen. Thank you. Hi, everybody. So what do you say we just ask the Lord to do what he wants to do in our midst, huh? Can we do that? Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your kindness. And thank you that your kindness and your mercy are over everything that you do. And you said to us that if we don't understand, if we lack any kind of a wisdom, that when we come to you and say, Lord, would you help us? I don't get this. That you never meet us with reproach. You never scold us. You never roll your eyes and think and leave us thinking that you think we should have figured it out before now. And we come to you, Lord, in the midst of a great and wonderful thing that you're doing in the world. And we understand that you, as the God who loves to make all things new, the creative, just, oomph, that makes up so much of who you are. We know that you're never intimidated by something as clumsy as a switch of eras in the world. That you who bracket human history, because you are the God before anything, and you're the God after anything that this earth can produce. And because we know by faith that every single thing that is on this planet that you made, it was made out of the invisible dimension. So we're really happy to know that your timeless word is indeed that. And we never have to surrender any truth in your word. We never have to give up any truly biblical stance in order to somehow relate to our culture round about us. But God, I ask that today, as you're stirring hearts and minds in your church all over the world, that today you would quicken in us a fresh desire to read your word freshly. And you who serve daily bread, freshly baked bread, thank you that you're not just going to pull out of the freezer some old piece of bread that you've frozen and pop it in a toaster and call it inspiration for us. That you have new things and new truths for us to understand that are simply another way of saying what you've been saying forever. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, they've given me this monstrosity to stand behind, and I will very likely work my way around this obstacle to the left and to the right in order to be a little bit closer to all of you. But can I just begin with, what are you going to say, no? Can I just begin by, it's always awkward as a minister, you never want to suggest that there's anything more true of you with your lips than perhaps other people have seen with their eyes. And if you're the first to announce something about yourself and everybody's like, oh, well, that's interesting, then probably you shouldn't have said anything. But I'm going to risk just a little bit to say that others have told me that I seem to have a little bit of the, could we just call it the spirit of Issachar, the people who knew the times and perhaps what Israel ought to do. So I want to begin at least with an Issachar perspective, and we're going to be burrowing down very particularly to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I have been privileged over the last 2 years. The Global Council commissioned me when I travel to 35 different nations and meet with the pastors and the boards and the national leaders, the key players in each of these nations. and ask them questions about what we call the four-stage model. And that's sort of getting landmarks for people to know how are they progressing in terms of discipling and raising up leaders and things like this. And among the things that we discovered, if I were to have to tell you, what are the three great weaknesses of the global church? And this is for virtually every national church. So it's not specific to region. It's not unique for an individual country. Across the board, the three weaknesses that we could really do something about. The first is that none of our churches seem to know how to actually raise up men and women from within their ranks and turn them into the kind of leaders that help care for a church and could ultimately go out and plant churches. Very interesting. We're not raising up leaders, so we don't have anybody to send. And that can be explained to a very large degree by the fact that though we are earnest and we know we're supposed to make disciples and everybody wants to make disciples, the admission that I heard in every one of these countries is, we don't know how. We don't know how to make disciples, the most straightforward thing that Jesus told us to do. And I don't believe he's ever reproaching us, saying, well, you should know by now. I think actually the Holy Spirit is inviting us to kind of reset a bit and reconsider what church could be, reconsider a lot of things so that we end up doing the very thing that all of us want to do, making disciples and raising up leaders. But the third weakness, and that brings me to my point. I have very few of them, so I will always highlight when I say that brings me to my point, you know, and then you should be ready. The third great weakness that we discovered in the global church, contrary to your impressions of, well, I'm sure it's happening someplace else, is the simple reality that now an extremely small percentage of the men and women who come to Christ, the men and women in our churches, an extremely small percent of them are baptized in the Holy Spirit. In 30 of the 35 nations, as I was gathered, not with groups quite this large, but I mean representative groups from these nations, in 30 of the 35, I think each of them thought it was quite the original joke, each of these places somebody said, oh, I guess we're the three-square church now. Which is cute if you're making jokes, but, And I can state to you unequivocally from the data of the Worldwide Church of the Foursquare Gospel that we are rapidly in danger of becoming a not-so-Pentecostal church. Now, the reasons for this we can go into, but I'm still trying to get to my point. Did I say that I made a point? Okay, let's call this point two. That I am not one of these pessimistic kind of... I'm much more of an opportunist. And I believe, since the mercy of God is over everything, that when we recognize a point of weakness in the church, that we're not going to be hearing reproach from him. And I don't think he wants to hear from us, I know I should. I think he just wants to say, if you will freshly come back to my word, if you will do new Bible study, if you will open these pages and literally word by word and verse by verse, I will open your eyes to behold wonderful things. If we as a church try to use a statement or a theology or teaching that we learned, say, 20, 40, 120 years ago, and try to import that very clumsy language into our culture, it sounds like a myth. And it's no wonder that people are like, eh? And that our culture is like, whatever, you kook. But if we will do fresh Bible study, it will create fresh understanding, which will give place to fresh language that is actually spiritually empowered and not just memorized like a what parakeet could memorize. And that fresh Bible study and fresh understanding and fresh language will penetrate hearts and minds, and we will again believe the simple truths of the kingdom of God. So I'm just telling you ahead of time, I believe the reason why the church, our Foursquare family, has left a subject as central as being empowered by the Holy Spirit, kind of left it to whatever, so that only the kooky, crazy people are speaking up. And when the, I don't know if I can say this, but I don't know who I'm looking to for permission. I've got the mic. Okay. Okay. Yes. Leaving it to the goon birds to articulate our theology is not helping any of us. So what I want to do is tell you two stories, and then we're going to look at just a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to see if I can't offer you what are for me lately the freshest understandings about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and answering the question, does everyone have the gift of tongues? Okay, that be all right? What are you going to say? Since I've kind of wanted to restudy and reteach this, I spent the last 3 years just restudying and teaching on the subject of grace. And I found, wow. A subject that I would say, yeah, I understand, grace, you know, grace to it, and name you grace, and we say grace before we eat. I kind of thought that I had an understanding of grace until I forced myself to freshly go back, and I mean, look at all of the verses, and my eyes are still like this with wonder. So several months ago, my wife, whom I listened to for very good reasons, and she said to me, you know, I really think it's time for you to start talking about something else. I don't think she was saying, you know, I think she was prompted by the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, that's interesting that you would say that, because what I want to talk about are the things of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and all of that. So I've been doing that last, say, let's call it 2 or 3 months. Now, I know there's a big question, can everybody speak in tongues? And because we have that question and no one feels like they want to actually come out and say, yes, they can, and they just want to borrow some language from 100 years ago and truncate down this beautiful message into it's the initial, I won't finish. We're not giving people a chance. So I was in Sweden just about 1 month ago, gathered with a group of 22 young adults from all over Europe, representing 9 or 10 different nations. And I asked them, how many of you are baptized with the Holy Spirit? And I don't want to presume in your nation what you think, but how many of you are baptized with the Spirit? How many of you have a regular release of spiritual language in your life? And there was about a third that were like this. How many of you have prayed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit but have never spoken in tongues, and so you presume that you don't have the gift of tongues? About a third. Now, these are 20-somethings representing the cream of the crop of what we have in Foursquare Europe. And another third kind of didn't even really know exactly what I was talking about. So I said, would you give me a few hours to do Bible study? And again, I was in charge, so there wasn't much. But it's so polite for me to keep asking. And don't you feel like, what a nice man. Okay. And so at the end of this Bible study, I said, how about if we pray for all of you that don't have the... And every single one of these young people spoke in tongues. Okay, lucky, because I had a group of people, all of whom had the gift. All right. So I'm in the Philippines not long after, gathered with a group of 50 crackerjack, go-for-it, fired-up young people. Boy, I knew they were fired up because the music alone. I wear hearing aids. It's one of the few times I've regretted wearing human, you know, hearing aids. Anyway, bam, 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 wonderful, beautiful, go-for-it people. Same thing. I said, would you give me 2 hours of Bible study? Because I'd like to talk to you in a fresh way about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and the possibility that you could speak in tongues. So how many of you have a regular release of your spiritual language? 50 people, 5 of them raised their hand. Thank you, Lord. It was the pastor, the lead pastor couple. Not that I would have been offended if not. I'm not looking for reproach. I'm not looking for somebody to blame. I've got a message, and it doesn't matter what the hindrance or the blockage has been. I'm telling you, the Bible is true. So five raised their hand. How many of you prayed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you either never spoke in tongues or you started speaking in tongues and you got stuck and you just gave up and you don't do it anymore? So about half of the remaining people raised their hand. And how many of you have never prayed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit was the other half. So I said, would you give me 2 hours? We did a little Bible study. At the end of that time, we just prayed. These poor young people, they just standing like this, not knowing what to do. I'm an old person. I don't know what to do either. I don't know how this is supposed to happen. So I just said, some of you that pray in the Spirit, would you start laying your hands on them? And I'm kind of a people person, so I don't kind of approach you like this. I just went to the first person, so how you doing? And just shared a couple of thoughts, and before long, they're praying in the Spirit. So I thought, well, that kind of works. So I would just go to them, how are you doing? Yeah, you talk a little bit. At the end of the evening, 48 of those people are now speaking in tongues. And the only two girls that didn't, it was their very first time at this church. They didn't leave, but they didn't pray in tongues. I don't even know if they're saved. I don't know. Lucky that I just happened to be at a place where extraordinarily, miraculously, everyone did have the gift of tongues? Or could it be that Jesus has things to say to his church that are truly going to empower? So I want to invite you, if you would, to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're getting there, and while I'm getting there, I want to define, if I can, the word empowered. Empowered. And I don't mean ever anything critical by this, but I just find that the church, for whatever reason, instead of wanting to say more, tends to say less. And I know it's a great slogan, empowered. I love it. But we know that it's all about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if we're not careful and we don't explain what it means to be empowered, I'm still looking for 1 Corinthians. How are you doing? I mean, I know it's in here. Some, I just keep looking. So here's the idea of being empowered. It doesn't mean that you got an extra battery pack that's been applied to you. It's not like you go in and suck on power and woo, 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 woo. You have so much power that you can let it out however you want. You don't glow in the dark as a result of being powered. Your hand doesn't do thing of its own. I'm trying to control it like a hose. No. It's not empowered. It really just means that you and I are given extra insight and perception to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying and see what the Spirit is doing. It just means your eyesight and your ears are better. Why? Because if you go back to the Gospels, you discover Jesus said, you don't think my teaching is my own, do you? I don't just teach whatever I want to teach. Whatever I hear the Father speak, that's what I speak. Whatever I see the Father do, that's what I do. I just emulate my Father. And now the good news, he says to all of us, is I'm going to give you my Spirit. And when you have been received this wonderful gift of being baptized in the Spirit, you are going to be able to be my witnesses. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will take what he hears Jesus say. He will say it to me so that when I say what the Spirit tells me to say, I actually am a witness giving testimony of what Jesus has said and what Jesus has done. He didn't mean you go and you have more power to witness so that you'll be better at preaching the gospel and doing evangelism. By all means, you'll do that. But he's trying to remind us that this great pattern, I don't speak of my own, I speak what I hear the Father. And now you and I have the privilege of speaking as the Spirit gives us utterance. I'm not empowered. I'm empowered. Ooh, what was that you said, Lord? And because I hear the little whisper of the Lord, I'm kind of eavesdropping, as it were. Oh my goodness, I then am able to give all kinds of prophetic words to people. Like last night, you know, wonderful message. We're singing, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." You know, I kind of, or, well, "You're welcome here" and all that stuff. I don't mind singing that, but I'd rather evidence it. So while we're, you know, we're singing, "Praise God." I mean, I'm not a musical person, but it's okay. I'm like, "Oh." So in the midst of the song, I said to the young lady next to me, her husband was right there, and I said it loud enough so that he would hear that I was talking to his wife. I said, "Do you mind if I say something to you, something I think Jesus was sharing?" So I give her a verse. She starts bawling. There was another gal right up here, too, over. I said, "Do you mind if I just tell you a little bit what I hear the Lord saying?" "No, okay." Oh, my goodness. And I'm not trying to say to you, "Oh, man, a power." I'm just saying we are called to do more than perpetually invite the Holy Spirit in a vague kind of way to fill the atmosphere. Right? That we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to hear what He says and take a step of faith and actually speak it to another person. And as we're told in 1 Corinthians 14, when that spirit of prophecy rises up, people drop to their knees and say, "How could you possibly have known this? Only God knows this." So I want to say again, I'm not against corporate worship. But I am saying that without intending to, we are teaching the church that the greatest expression, the greatest worship that we can do is sing generic songs that we've sung many times in the last 2 weeks. And forget that our assignment primarily is to listen to what the Spirit says. And were we to share with one another and function in the spiritual gifts the way that the Bible describes how the early church was, each of you had a song, a psalm, speaking to one another, exercising these gifts. Oh, I tell you, friends, the praise that would break out, we might actually even begin to write songs ourselves. Should I just come out and tell you what I really think? Yeah. Okay, no. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12. All I want to do right now is to just give you a couple of tidbits of a fresh understanding that I have, because if you're looking, how do I introduce these dynamics, the spiritual giftings, into the life of my congregation? What we have to do is demystify them. We have to explain them in a way that normal people can understand. We have to celebrate things that actually are a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. And we have to put the kibosh on people who, in the name of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, are just weird. Okay, so there's my thought. So here's my little Bible study. So I hope you have your Bible with you. It's really fun. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. Now, I never knew, because I'm not a Greek scholar, I never knew that the word gifts is not in the original. The real expression is, now concerning spirituals, I don't want you to be unaware. Now, concerning the things of the Spirit, you know, things that eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard, that haven't entered into the heart of man, hearkening back to the early part of this letter. Now, concerning spirituals, I don't want you to be ignorant. And I believe that some of our frustration and difficulty in debate, does everyone speak in tongues, does everybody have that gift, is because we've inserted this word gifts. And from that point on, every single thing that he says, we're trying to cram into this box called gifts. But that's not how it begins. Now, concerning spirituals, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. So my first pop quiz question to you, thought that would get you going. What is the first spiritual that Paul mentions? It's found in verse 2. What's the first spiritual that he actually begins talking about? Sorry? Okay, this would be one way of saying it is discernment, because he's saying, well, however those idols that can't talk were leading you, you were being led astray. I would maybe say the first spiritual he talks about is being led of the Lord. The leading of God. Can everyone be led by God, or does that require a special gift? See? Everyone can be led. Now, in a little exercise, this will require you actually opening your eyes and looking at the person next to you. So stop praying now, and I want you to look at the person. Would you all say aloud while you're watching your neighbor, Jesus is Lord? I just want to be sure. Let's try it one more time. Jesus is Lord. Okay. Now here's my question. Anybody start to levitate when they were saying that? Okay. Yeah. No, if you did, you didn't have your eyes open. You were dreaming. Yeah. Did anybody have to say, Jesus is the Lord? Nah, I don't think so. Anyone revert back to a long ago dialect or an accent from another country? Anybody have to do anything other than just say Jesus is Lord? Verse 3 tells us, you know, you can't possibly say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Can everyone who has the Holy Spirit say Jesus is Lord? Yes. And if that is language and an expression that is given to us by the Spirit, and you can't utter it without the Holy Spirit enabling you, okay, I guess I spoke too soon. Someone is either waking up or going down. So, oh, Lordy. I don't think there's anything in the world or the cosmos more spiritual than the statement, Jesus is Lord. Would you agree to me that kind of tops everything? And whatever else you might want to say, nothing is more than Jesus is Lord. So here's my question. Oh, that would be two. Sorry. Here's my question. You may be somebody, it was prophetic. Somebody else has a question. No. If I can, by the Holy Spirit, utter the single most profoundly deep spiritual thing in the world without changing my tone of voice or imitating a fish out of water, then what on earth in the Bible would lead me to imagine that the contortions and affectations and extra added on, you know, parsley on the spiritual plate? What would make me imagine that people have to become odd in order to be led by the Holy Spirit? If I can say Jesus is Lord with a smile on my face, there isn't anything spiritually that tops that. And I don't have to become something other than I am to be able to say that. So if you're doing spiritual stuff and another voice than your own is coming out, you are doing spiritual stuff. It's just not the right spiritual stuff. Okay. Never forget when Paul was in Philippi, and there was this woman, this fortune teller, who was following them around saying, this man, these people are messengers from Most High God. Listen to them. I used to wonder, well, that's pretty good advertisement. Why did Paul turn around and have to rebuke this person? I think it was because there was something so wrong that even though, listen to these people, they're messengers, Most High God. It's okay, I'm fine. Yeah, please extend your hand. No, that's only if this leg starts going. That's my Pentecostal leg, and I try to keep... Okay, I mean, you know we're having fun. The Bible. But we as teachers of the Word of God, we who want to empower the church, we've got to be sure that we're teaching them that all that this means is that you can hear the Lord better. You can see what He's doing. And the very best way to hear the Lord and to see what He's doing is to get yourself in this book and just devour the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit's main job is to take the things of Christ, right? His words, and give them to us. But if you look at some Pentecostal, it's like, where did the Word of God go? And these people, they may be empowered, but I keep listening. I actually haven't heard a Bible verse in this entire show that's going on up there. Don't tell me that that is an empowered person. And please don't tell me it's an anointed person. The book is anointed. I'm anointed, you're anointed, because we're set apart for one very simple purpose: to bring the message of the gospel to people, no matter what their situation or their circumstance. Well, of course, in my Bible study, which always takes me longer than I anticipate, if you remove the notion that these next three chapters are only talking about spiritual gifts, then you can understand, love is not a spiritual gift, but can every believer love? Yes. But the kind of love that it's talking about is not natural love, it's spiritual love. What about hope? Can every believer have hope? I hope so. And he says, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And maybe where we get confused is that there is indeed a spiritual gift of faith. But do you want to say to me that, well, you know, not everyone has the gift of faith? I would accept that. But if you then want to say to me, it's obvious not everyone can have faith, then I would say I don't agree with you. To distinguish the different kinds of spirituals that there are out there, Paul gives us a list of three different ways of thinking about them. There are the spiritual gifts, the traditional nine: a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, discerning of spirits, etc. But then he also introduces this thing, I'm over in verse like 5-ish, around there, spiritual ministries. And there's a variety of these. Just like there is a spiritual gift of prophecy, there is also a spiritual ministry of prophet. You hear the difference? And then he concludes with a third category. And that is, depending on your translation, in verse 6, there are a variety of operations, a variety of ways in which these spirituals can, at different times, manifest themselves. So there can be faith, there can be the gift of faith, there can be somebody with the gift of prophecy, there can be a prophet. And even in prophecy, you know as well as I do, that there's sometimes, of course, a person stands up and they give this prophetic word. But there are other times when you're just laying your hands on somebody and, you know, you're praying all the stuff you know you're supposed to pray. And then all of a sudden you feel like you stepped on a people mover and something starts happening, right? You think of a scripture, and you can feel I don't know what that is, but okay, I don't know what that is either, you know. Something happens and the shoot gets greased. Now, that is also prophecy, but it functions, it operates a little bit differently than the other way. But if I lock in, there's only these gifts, and every time there is a prophecy, it begins with, thus saith the Lord, then what I as a pastor, a leader, am going to see in the lives of people, I won't know to celebrate and to say to them, whoa, wow, sweetness. Was that wild or what? Did you sense when you were praying for them how you got that extra propulsion? Yeah. You know what that was? That was the prompting of the Spirit. You just prophesied. You might want to not tell many people. You just prophesied. And if you make it fun, they're like, oh, I did? I want to catch people who are doing what they didn't even know they were doing and celebrate the normalcy of what just happened. See? And that brings me to tongues. I wish I had 3 more hours for this Bible study, but so you know the passages. You go over to chapter 14. Well, let me read it. Chapter 14, he says, verse 2, and I presume you all believe this is the word of God and it's true. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. So pretty clear, right? If you're praying in the spirit, in tongues, other people don't understand, but God does, because you're only talking to God, right? That's what it says there. There is no group harder to talk to than preacher people. Yeah, okay. So I am your congregation's revenge. Well, this is what the Bible says, that when you speak in tongues, nobody understands but God alone. Okay, now let's reverse a little bit and go back to the day of Pentecost. Those people had these tongues, you know, not like big cow tongues flopping on their head, but more like the language, you know. And what did they do? They spilled out into the streets, and they were speaking in tongues, right? But, what do we find there? Everybody is saying, whoa, we hear them speaking in our own language. So would you agree with me? I don't know, this is not the so alert side. I'm going to come over here. Would you agree with me that on the day of Pentecost, people speaking in tongues were actually speaking to people who understood? Let's come back and do a little Bible review. And do you remember what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that if you speak in tongues, you're not speaking to people, you're speaking to God? Yeah, okay. Oh, let's help our friends over here, shall we? Either one of those two verses is not true. Or there's probably two operations of my spiritual language. Not everyone has the gift of tongues, which I understand to be a public proclamation that has to be interpreted because people don't understand. Not everybody has that gift. But I believe that every person can pray in the Spirit because God wants us to be tooled with this great empowerment that we now speak things that don't come from our natural mind. They don't come from our own learning, but they come from the Holy Spirit. And that praying in the Spirit capacitates our people to be able to hear the voice of the Lord better and better and better so that they increase in their ministry capability and skill and understanding. Now, I'm coming to questions in just a moment. I'm not telling you that you have to accept the Bible study that I've done. If nothing else, could you allow it to be an example to you of this man who has been studying and teaching the Bible like a crazy man I was crazy before, but now I study the Bible like a crazy man for many decades. I don't think there's been a week in my life since 1970 that I have not been teaching at least a failing Bible study at UCLA. I teach the Bible a lot. I read the Bible a lot. And this little simple understanding that it doesn't say gifts opened up a possibility for me to think about this in a way, and when I share this with people, oh my goodness, I don't have to ask them, do you have the gift of tongues? I ask them, would you like to be able to speak mysteries in your heart to God? And I have yet to find a Christian who says no. And if we take a moment to explain to our friends that what's going to happen to you is you're going to begin to hear nonsense syllables in your mind. You're going to have an itching in your lips to want to speak words that you don't understand. By faith, not by brain, by faith, speak what the Spirit gives you, and that's called speaking in tongues. So if all that it is for you is a fresh Bible study and you wish to congratulate yourself because you knew what I'm saying a long time ago, great. But perhaps for you, not just about being baptized in the Spirit, but all the foundational truths of the kingdom, We are at a season in time when our culture and our world do not understand what we're saying. And we need Holy Spirit-empowered discernment in God's Word to rightly divide this book and not rely on slogans and teachings that we learned long time ago. And I promise you this, you and I are going to see a lot of stuff happen when we freshly teach the Bible. Okay? Amen. Thank you. So are you going to...
Absolutely. Praise God. Daniel, there's actually a microphone right in there that you can use to respond. There you go. Awesome.
Oh, this is for me now.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to use
yes.
that one.
Yes, that way, because this is being recorded. So if you do have a question, we have 15 minutes of questions and answers with Daniel Brown. And so if you would like to ask a question, just raise your hand and I will come to you and I will hold the mic. Don't try to take it from me. I won't give it to you. You're pastors and leaders. You understand why. So just... So if you do have a question, just feel free to go ahead and just raise your hand and I will walk to you and I will get the microphone there. Absolutely. If you'd like to meet me here, that'd be great. Yeah, I'm not going to let go of the mic. Absolutely, thank you. And if you guys would be so gracious as to state your name and then you can ask the question. That's okay.
My name is Remy. I'm from the UK, but I'm Nigerian. I'm African. The question I want to ask is speaking in tongues cultural?
Is speaking in tongues cultural?
Cultural.
Is that what you asked?
Yes. Can it be cultural?
I believe it's biblical culture, but I don't think it's confined to any national or regional culture, no.
Okay. Yeah. Why I'm asking this is when Africans are praying in tongue, it's quite discernible to be
quite
African.
Quite excitable?
Discernible to be uh-huh. African.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is it cultural? Is it, you know...
Oh, I see what you're asking.
Yes.
Okay, I think...
okay, that's it.
Yeah, if I understand, good. Could I repeat the question that I'm going to try to answer, whether or not that was your question? Because my ears don't work so well. Probably having to do with what I was saying, you don't have to get all excited. And so if you're praying in the Spirit, if you can say Jesus is Lord without getting really excited, you can also pray in tongues without getting excited. I would say yes. Do you have to get excited and get all worked up and be loud? I don't believe so. But I think unknowingly, all of us are passing along extra elements of this spiritual stuff, and because they become accepted in the church culture that we're in, that notion kind of perpetuates. It's nothing wrong with getting excited, but we don't have to have some odd thing happen to us in order to truthfully being led by the Spirit what to do or what to say. So, yeah, there are many cultures that are much louder than somebody like me. I mean, I'm like boring compared to many cultures. So,
excellent.
Yeah, let's take another question another if question. There is.
Okay, we have
one. Thanks. Oh, sorry, I can grab more. Bob Fullen, we're from the Big Island. And I was wondering, how do you really develop your discernment? So you have that, and you're there, discerning, you know, what's going on in the spirit realm, and how do you develop that? Is that clear?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great. I mean, that's a huge question. Discernment is what he asked. Well, we're told in Hebrews that our discernment, that through practice, our discernment can be trained to differentiate between right and wrong. That's a discernment that every believer has. There is a gift of discerning of spirits. And often that manifests in your life when probably most of us have had this early inkling. When you think about somebody in your church or somebody that you know, and you realize they're like overwhelmed with wrongness. And what comes to your mind is like one word, like rage or lawlessness. When a single word like that comes to your understanding as you think about a person, that's the fledgling of discernment. So we want to pay attention to things that we're saying. But I would say personally, the more that I am reading the Word of God, and I don't want to put anything weird on anybody at all, but I'm a real stickler with myself that I want to have a couple of Bible verses that are talking to me. And how I imagine living my life is the way that I would want to cross a shallow creek, a shallow river, and it's got several rocks that are sticking above the waterline. Those to me are Bible verses. So I'm trying to figure out how to get across or where I should go from here or what the situation is. And I want to step from a Bible verse that's coming to me to another Bible verse. And when you start putting the overlap of three or four Bible verses together, kind of like overlapping circles, oh my goodness, it really highlights a very particular thing. So I am always a bit leery. You know, that sounded unkind. I am much more comfortable with discernment that has several Bible verses to it rather than, oh, I know, yeah, God showed me. Thinking, really? I mean, Paul says we're looking through a glass darkly. And you know what that glass was? Polished brass mirror. Okay, ladies, try your eyeliner tomorrow with that. Just look on the doorknob and try to put it. It's like, oh, what happened to you? That's ugly. Yeah, because I only have this. And I think I'm trying to be a spiritual guy. I know I'm a little, but And if somebody gives me the impression that they see things that I don't see, I'm like, I don't think I want to see them. Spiritual stuff and pseudo-spiritual people are profoundly intimidating to normal people. And because we are children of the Lord and we want to get down in the presence of the Lord and we don't put ourselves up like this, when somebody comes into our midst and they've got this spiritual stuff, we just think, okay, yeah. Discernment, if you feel intimidated by someone's spirituality, this is for guys only, you need to, I don't know, ladies, you kick them out or something. You need to, I'm going to resist that because that is not the spirit of Jesus. That is that Pharisaical, unkind, judgmental nonsense. And it's always the hyper-spiritual, mystical people that want you to think that they have an insight to the things of God that you don't have. And normal people like us are very aware that we're not so connected. And that's how they back us away. So I'm just saying, Pastor, if you feel pushed over by anybody's spirituality, encourage them to find a place where mature people can go like old elephants and die. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably tell them, what, is that a tusk? You're missing a, you know, you're getting near the end of your, you should go find a graveyard. Sorry, another, yes, question. John.
Oh, you don't want to give me the mic. You know, in your travels, you know, a lot of the caricature that you're in your presentation, as we laugh about that, one of the, you know, and I'm curious about this because you've traveled much more than I have. We all understand the caricature that you're giving us of the classical Pentecostal charismatic person that's grounding his ministry in a certain stylistic format. But, you know, you're a corrective voice, but how open is the worldwide Pentecostal movement in your travels? How open are they to a more corrective perspective on how we do move in the power of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
I'm a missionary in Latin America, and that's a very typical form of how that our tradition is expressed.
Yeah.
And so there are voices that are trying to bring some balance, but since Pentecostalism is such a worldwide phenomena,
yes,
how are you seeing the Spirit bringing correction to a style that we're all kind of laughing at?
Yeah, Yeah. Well, and please forgive me. I have been told before, and just came back to my mind. Sometimes I get exuberant. I don't mean to be making a caricature or laughing at anyone. But I have found that there is such a seriousness about this not spirit of Jesus that I often want to come in the opposite spirit. So I would just again apologize if I allowed myself to get a little bit too zany. Generally, people are shocked that maybe how they're doing what they're doing is perhaps not biblical. And that's what I'm suggesting, that we have to do fresh Bible study. If you just calculate in your mind, when was the last time you actually heard a Bible study on the subject of being baptized in the Spirit and speaking in tongues? And if you're like me, you'll realize, wow, it's been a long, 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 long time. And more Christians are relying on their memory of a few Bible verses rather than fresh Bible study. And my experience has been, as I just present little something fun like this, when people, wow, see something in the Word of God, they're like very, very interested and intrigued. There's always going to be cultural... Sorry? Very little. I would say categorically, I don't encounter many people who want to freshly visit the Scriptures on this subject. Doesn't mean people don't. I mean, for me, it's just been the last several months that I've felt an alert, and I do believe it's a, not that I would put my experience on you, but I think the Spirit is encouraging us to revisit these truths and not just pass along stuff that we've done, and to put up a biblical grid. And next time somebody prophesies, I would say to my church, look, from now on, whenever there's a prophecy, here's the deal. You get a picture. You have an image in your mind. Wonderful, wonderful. But from this point on, if you don't have two Bible verses that explain that picture in your mind, keep it to yourself. And that will do away with a lot of so-called prophecy. I would want to distinguish for people word of wisdom from word of knowledge. I would want to help them understand these very particular, spiritual gifts. And by the way, Jeff, where is the... Do I just tell them where it is online? Okay. We're making some resources available for everybody on our website. The website is ctwcharliethomaswilliam.coastlands.org, ctw.coastlands.org. And you'll see that there's free resource about just some of the latest teachings I'm doing on spiritual gifts. And if you want a free purchase code for everything on our website, DRD1616, lowercase, DRD16.
Excellent. We have another question.
Jeff and Sally Buzma volunteer in my office 3 days a week for the last 15 years in charge of all this resource. Volunteer 3 full days a week for the last 15 years. And I love you and thank you so very much. Yeah. Okay, I think we have time for more questions.
One more question.
Okay, one more. Yes, sir.
Thank you, by the way. I think you've done a great job today. I believe that this is a topic that sometimes even causes division than actually unity. I just wanted to see if you can elaborate a little more in the two type of operation of the tongues that you mentioned, like on the day of Pentecost and in the book of Acts and also in the in 1 Corinthians 12, because as you know, you start talking to other people about this and you hear things like the Spirit is subject to the prophet and all these things. Can you elaborate a little more about those two, the operations of talking to God and giving a message to others?
Well, yes. So the question is, could I elaborate a little more on the two different operations? And there's more than that, but the two, one of my spiritual language that is addressing people, and I consider that the gift of tongues, and my spiritual language that's only talking to God about secrets in my heart and so forth. Well, I guess how I would describe those two, I speak only English. I'm a very good American. I speak only English. And so any other language coming out of my lips is my own miracle that, I mean, just gets me going. So my native tongue, English, I can use to make a prophecy. And God would speak like I did to those two gals last night. I kind of walk around always looking if I could share something with somebody. So I would use English as the language in order to share something with someone from the heart of God. I would also use English if I'm going to pray about stuff that's going on in my life or just pray for you. It's the language is not the gifting. The language is the medium that is prompted by the Holy Spirit, so that whether I am declaring the high praises of God that people can understand, or another operation of the gift of tongues is not a prophecy from people, you know, from God to people, but sometimes it is a prayer, and it is the collective sense of a group of people crying out to their Father. And so you hear some interpretations of tongues, and it's actually a prayer that the person is operating. So that to me would be three different. If I separate the language, in this case English, from the three different ways that it operates, prophesying, praying myself for things, and offering prayer on behalf of all of us together. We don't struggle with those three operations in our native tongue. And I'm just saying that your non-native tongue, your spiritual language, can be used several different ways as well. Yeah. Okay, well, unfortunately, I think, are we at the end?
Yes, we're at the conclusion. Could we say thank you to Daniel Brown? Awesome. And Daniel, would you pray for us we conclude?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If everyone would like to rise to their feet, let's receive a blessing from Pastor Daniel. Thank you.
Okay, just before I pray, because I'm looking at my watch. Let's say that you're someone like my sister, who is a librarian, and yes, that says it all. She likes everything very precise and in order. And when my wife and I prayed for her to be filled with the Spirit and have the release of her spiritual language, you know, for like an hour is going by, I'm like, Bev, aren't you getting anything to say? Aren't you not? No. Finally, after an hour, I'm like, Bev, okay, that's it. I don't know what the deal is. And she says, well, I did have these two words. I'm like, She's my sister, so it's okay to want to have murdered her. I've done it many times in my life, okay? It's not even a sin. And she says, heepa keepa. And she's like, well, what kind of prayer is that? I said, how about if it is, help me, keep me? That works. So she was all excited, and then she proceeded to heepa keepa, heepa 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 keepa keepa heepa keepa heepa 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 keepa heepa. She was stuck. Why was she stuck and didn't have any more release of language? It is because her ears are connected to her brain. And as soon as she said heepa keepa, and we said, that's it, hallelujah, her ears said, well, why didn't you tell me that's the language you wanted to use? And they suggested to her brain, we know this, don't we? And the brain, of course, said, yes. So instead of her praying in the spirit, she was praying in the brain. Heepa keepa, heepa heepa, heepa keepa, heepa keepa, heepa. If you are simply repeating your language, all it means is you've stopped praying in the Spirit as the Spirit's giving you utterance. And let me just encourage you, don't repeat yourself, but keep praying. Lord, thank you that you lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. Thank you that you love your children. Thank you that you want to endow us with all these wonderful spiritual capabilities. And Lord, we want to have more faith. We want to have more love. We want to have more hope. We want to aspire to the greater gifts that are meant for the common good. But we also want to be like Paul, who just loved to pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit. And we know that in the public setting, five words that people can understand are better than 10,000 words that only the Spirit can understand. So give us wisdom in all of this. But I ask God that in Jesus' name, you would release people to the full measure of this wonderful gift of praying by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.